Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest is, we grew up in Southfield, Michigan, earned a BA and an MBA from the University of Michigan. From 2009 to 2011, he was Executive Vice President of Marketing and Sales for the Madison Square Garden Company. Since 2019, he's been the President of 313 Presents, which oversees six venues: Little Caesars Arena, Comerica Park, the Fox Theater, Pine Knob Music Theater, Meadowbrook Amphitheater, and the Michigan Lottery Amphitheater at Freedom Hall. A world-class marketer, his name, Howard Handler. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Howard Handler, who has one of the greatest resumes I've ever seen in my life. Welcome. Welcome home, Howard. Great to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Jack.
Can we start by talking about growing up in Southfield? And your mom and your dad, please.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I actually was born and grew up initially in Detroit, near 7 in Livernois. And then around second grade, we moved to Southfield. My dad was a lawyer and had a big fancy job in the Traveler's Tower at that time. But I grew up off of Bell Road, right across the street from Shar Tzedek. And that square mile was our whole world. On our bikes, all our friends, every single schoolyard, every single athletic field, that's what it was all about.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Howard, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, from my mom, I most definitely learned about curiosity and learning about new things and exploring new worlds. My mom was a research librarian. She's still alive, Marlene Handler. She really loved and still loves books, and books allowed her to travel the whole world. And she instilled that curiosity to understand things, ask questions, and really learn. My dad, Wally Handler, great lawyer, dean of the bankruptcy bar. He instilled in me a great deal of integrity and discipline. He has an extraordinary work ethic, and he applied that to his career as a great attorney.
Where did you ever get your love for live entertainment?
Well, as a child of the 60s and 70s, like many, I grew up in front of the television, proud to say. But also the radio, I guess media was everywhere. My sister Missy turned me on to the Beatles and Elvis with our little record player. I remember watching the Ed Sullivan Show. I remember watching Laugh-In'. And all of those things really gave me a great passion for music and comedy and pop culture in general.
Speaking of pop culture, live entertainment, one of your first jobs, I think still in high school, was as a security ranger. Where?
At Pine Knob. At Pine Knob Music Theater, summer of 78. I had just finished my junior year of high school, and my sister Missy was an usher. And she was able to get me an introduction and ultimately a job as a ranger, which was the name of the security crew back in those days. Wore these orange shirts, carried these big flashlights. Rest assured, I was the least intimidating security guard you would have ever met.
Do you remember any of the acts that year?
I remember very, very vividly. Neil Young did his Rust Never Sleeps tour, but probably most prominently, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band really exploded nationally around that time and played either a 5 or a 6 night run, and that was quite meaningful. I was lucky enough to work many of those shows, but today I own a photograph of Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen that Tom Weschler took backstage at Pine Knob. Bruce wanted to meet Bob, so everything kind of came full circle, you know, all these years later.
We're talking to Howard Handler, who now is the president of 313 Presents. If you want to learn more, www.313presents.com. All right, you got degrees from U of M, then you went to Chicago, and from 84 to 89, you were brand manager at Quaker Oats, an iconic company for branding. What did you learn in those 5 years?
Well, the Quaker Oats company was quite an important company back in those days. We were based in the Merchandise Mart in Chicago, which is an iconic building, not unlike the Golden Tower, the Fisher Building. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to learn how to run a whole consumer business. And brand management was a wonderful training ground where they were willing to throw a lot of responsibility at hungry, hardworking people in their mid to late 20s and into their 30s. I started working on Quaker Chewy granola bars. I worked on Life cereal. And I would work on every single element from the pricing to the promotion, the advertising, the packaging, the sales, the distribution. And I worked with some really smart people. I feel like I sharpened my ability to think. I know I sharpened my ability to write, which I think is an undervalued skill these days. And I had a really good time. And I really do still believe that that is a good part of the foundation that I still leverage in business today.
And he impressed a fledgling new company that hired him in 1995. When we come back, we're going to talk about how he ever got a job with the NFL, the National Football League. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula. We're with Howard Handler. From 1995 to 2000, he was Senior Vice President of Marketing and Fan Development for the National Football League. Wow. How'd you ever get the job? And let's talk about that chapter in your life.
I got to the NFL with my boss and friend and mentor, Sarah Levinson. I had been working at MTV. I was the head of marketing in those days. That was a transformational time for MTV. We were kind of making the move from straight music video to some real long-form programming. My boss, Sarah Levinson, was given the opportunity to work for the National Football League to be the president of NFL Properties, which was the entire commercial business of the National Football League. And she asked me if I wanted to join. They had designed a role that hadn't existed before, which was essentially a chief marketing officer, somebody who was in charge of the brand, somebody who was the consumer advocate, so the fan advocate, and somebody who was there to pull a calendar and a cohesive plan together for how the fans would experience the NFL over the course of a full season. I felt like a kid in a candy store. I always loved football, an enormous Michigan football fan to this day, love professional football, and the ability to apply everything that I had learned in the world of marketing Quaker Oats, Saturday Night Live, MTV, and to bring that to the NFL was quite an opportunity.
A couple of names. Another lawyer, Paul Tagliabue, was the commissioner first.
Well, Paul Tagliabue was our leader and truly an extraordinary intellect. He was a very well-regarded antitrust lawyer for Covington Burling in Washington, D.C., was a trusted advisor and counselor to then-Commissioner Pete Rozelle. And when it came time to elect the next commissioner, Paul was the guy. And I felt very fortunate to sit around his table and to learn from him. And marketing was something that was very curious to Paul. I'll never forget, I had been on board for a few months, and I had constructed, I guess, a preliminary plan, some hypotheses about some of the things that we might do. And Sarah thought that that would be a good time to sit down and for me to have a quality meeting with Paul. And I remember laying out some of those ideas to him, and I walked away with the equivalent of a syllabus of 10 different books that came to mind as I was outlining things to him. Because Paul is a great historian. So much of how he would frame things and decisions that he would make were based on historical precedent, not really even of the National Football League. He would draw on different periods of history and different leaders, and it was really quite an expansive experience to work for him.
Today's commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell, an extraordinary guy in his own right. He spent really the majority of his career at the NFL. He was pushing a mail cart. He was an intern and obviously rose all the way through the ranks and will go down in history as one of the great commissioners of the NFL and really supercharged the commercial business. Helped the NFL really define how it would play in a digital era, and has now, I think, made the great move from linear to cable to streaming, and he's still not done. During my time, Roger helped a number of different owners navigate the creation of the modern stadiums that we experience today. And of course, here in Detroit in 2024, we will have the NFL draft. And I think that we're going to have anywhere from 300,000 to 400,000 people here in the city of Detroit. Cannot wait for that.
Hold on to that thought for a minute. Football, it's a religion in America. Howard, how do you explain the power of the NFL?
I would say that the NFL is the American essence of human competition. It's the American flag wrapped in the shield of a warrior. It's the sport that translates most effectively to television. It's something that as Americans, and now increasingly a lot of other people around the world, something that we learn from the time that we're very young. You learn about teamwork, you learn about discipline, setting goals, and it becomes very aspirational to watch college football on a Saturday or NFL football on a Sunday, and now a Monday, a Thursday, you name it. Because that's how deeply people are passionate about the product. But I just feel ultimately it is something that unifies. It brings people together. It's a common language. And ultimately at the root of it is a great deal of passion for your team, for your favorite players, and for just extraordinary, supreme athleticism. So I think the NFL has quite a bit going for it.
All right. You mentioned your team, your passion, and you mentioned come April 25th of 1924, with the first night of the NFL draft for 2024, just right down the street here. This past April 27th, 300,000 people showed up in Kansas City. Over 4.5 hours, from 8 o'clock till 12:30, 31 young kids were drafted, one per team. One team lost the draft, their pick, okay? The TV audience that night exceeded Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and Game 7 of the World Series. Howard, it wasn't even a football game. And you're saying we'll have maybe 400,000? Why?
I think that there is a magnetism for NFL football and everything that surrounds it. Tens of millions of fans. But I think one of the things that will set Detroit apart is that we are within driving distance of so many NFL cities. Think about it. Cleveland, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Chicago. All those fans are going to want to...
Pittsburgh, Green Bay.
Right. They're all going to want to be a part of this great, iconic event. Cannot wait.
All right, speaking of iconic, you know, the voice of John Facenda, the voice of God. But you had this coach, John Madden, in the 70s, early 80s, and then he becomes the announcer, and he goes on the bus every week. Talk about the magic of John Madden.
Well, John Madden's one of the great sports storytellers. I think the magic of John Madden was he made everybody feel like he was their buddy that was sitting next to him on a bar stool watching the game and sharing certain insights and stories and making them laugh. And he just brought a charisma and as I said, a magic to the experience. I think in tennis today, the equivalent is John McEnroe. You know, the great announcers really capture our imagination and make us feel that they're right there with us watching the game.
We're talking to Howard Handler. If you want to learn more, www.313presents.com. In 2003, he joined a fledgling startup. 5 years later, it was $1.2 billion in revenue and IPO'd on the New York Stock Exchange. Its name was Virgin Mobile USA. We'll talk to him about that when we come back. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Pasula. We're with Howard Handler, and since 2019, he's been the president of 313 Presents. All right, you joined Virgin Mobile USA 2003, a fledgling startup. 5 years later, you're doing $1.2 billion. IPO, New York Stock Exchange. How'd you do it?
We created the right product with the right brand at the right time. Mobile telephones, cell phones were a very fledgling concept at that time. If you remember those big brick phones, and some people had them in their car, Motorola, Sprint, some others were starting to find a more portable, truly convenient version of a mobile phone. The issue was that you had to pass a credit check and you had to be willing to sign a contract. And Richard Branson, the great entrepreneur today, Sir Richard Branson, has a keen eye for disruption and consumer pain. So think of Richard as a little bit Robin Hood. He felt that the notion of people signing contracts was restrictive, limited flexibility, and he felt that if we treated the mobile phone like a fast-moving consumer good, so like Life cereal or Quaker Chewy granola bars, something that you could pull off of a shelf, walk up to a cashier, walk out, and begin using, that we could really open up the marketplace, especially for young people and especially for people who are credit challenged. Virgin, very aspirational brand, vibrant, fun, but it was not a national brand in the U.S. at the time. The only thing that really existed was the remnants of Virgin Records, great record label, but most people don't remember record labels. Virgin Atlantic, the international carrier, which only flew from a handful of cities, and Virgin Megastores. So there was a small percentage of the population that knew a little bit about Virgin, and let's say there was a little bit of a halo, but this was an opportunity to take the real essence of Virgin and bring it national. And so ultimately, we built a challenger brand. We had a great product, and it was well-priced, and we built incredible distribution channels. We sold mobile phones at Best Buy and Music Land and Target, as opposed to telephone store. So it really caught fire.
All right, let's go back to 1879. And some entrepreneurs started something called Madison Square Garden 144 years ago. Iconic. So you go to work there from 2009 to 2011. Unbelievable. What was the number one sporting event, Howard, Sir Howard, you ever saw?
Sir Howard, that'd be interesting. I was lucky enough to see Evander Holyfield versus Lennox Lewis. That was quite a fight. And it had all the electricity that one associates with boxing. And growing up in Detroit, I mean, Detroit is one of the great fight capitals of the world. Kronk Gym, Detroit Boxing Club are all still very active. Some of the greatest fighters are still coming out of Detroit. We will have had Clarissa Shields versus Maricela Cornejo at Little Caesars Arena on June 3rd by the time this airs. So boxing was already in my blood. My great uncle, Lou Handler, was a very noted and famous referee who refereed Joe Louis's first professional fight, refereed Jake LaMotta's 1950 middleweight championship fight. So I had boxing in my blood. So to be able to see a fight like that at Madison Square Garden was one of those goose flesh moments.
A lot of goose flesh moments at Madison Square Garden. What was the most special event you ever saw there?
Well, I was lucky enough to go to a fundraiser concert called From the Big Apple to the Big Easy, which was a concert that was thrown in response to the tragedy of Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. It was a devastating hurricane that a lot of people died, displaced a whole bunch of people, and this was an effort on behalf of all the great musicians around the country that love New Orleans, as well as a number of legendary New Orleans musicians themselves, Alan Toussaint, Neville Brothers, Dr. John, Irma Thomas. Everybody was there, and all the New York greats and people who love New Orleans music were there. And so it was a sprawling 3-hour concert. Think of it as a tasting menu, just a complete gourmet feast of music.
Also, Jimmy Buffett, Elton John, Bette Midler, Simon and Garfunkel, and you guys raised $9 million for the Katrina. All right, you saw a lot of live entertainment in there. Who was your favorite entertainer?
If I think across my life so far, still to me, the greatest of them all was Ray Charles. He brought together sacred music, popular music, created soul, R&B, but like a Louis Armstrong, like a Willie Nelson, played across almost every single genre that one could imagine, and also pulled himself out of very challenging circumstances, a blind African-American child, and became one of the great musical ambassadors of the world. And I still treasure the music of Ray Charles.
America, oh, I love you, America. Well, my God, he not just his grace on me. God on a loving heart, cause he cried out the other. He told me would. Should be brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Yeah, Jesus, I want to thank you, Lord.
We're with Howard Handler, and I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Brasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Sir Howard Handler from 2011 to 2017. Chief Marketing Officer, Major League Soccer. Is soccer ever going to make it in America, Howard?
Jack, I would tell you that soccer has already made it in America. I think beginning with the World Cup in 94, the creation of Major League Soccer in 96, all of that has led to so many great things. I'd also credit Title IX, giving girls and young women an opportunity to compete at the highest level. And we have that to thank for gold medals and World Cup championships. But as we sit here today, there are 29 and soon to be 30 teams with Major League Soccer. San Diego will be the newest franchise in a couple of years. And the franchise fee was $500 million. The World Cup final that played out in last summer between Argentina and France, by fans and newer fans of soccer, was believed to be one of the greatest sporting events, one of the most competitive sporting events most people had ever seen. So soccer is the beautiful game, and it's the world game. And by the time that 2026 rolls around and we host the World Cup here in the United States, as well as Canada and Mexico, I think that will be another big bang that will continue to lead to the growth of soccer here in the U.S.
We're talking to Howard Handler, a world-class marketer. Howard, let's go back 4 years, 2019. After 35 years, you come back home to Detroit. Why?
I have always loved Detroit. I've always worn it on my sleeve, no matter where I traveled in the world. I think that almost anybody knew that that's where I was from because I would tell them. And I know that I got my values and my sensibility and my grit from the city of Detroit. And yet, my whole career, and mostly the time in New York, everything that I worked on had either a national or a global focus. I really wanted to get back to running a whole company and stretching some of those skills that I learned all the way back at the Quaker Oats Company. And when I learned about 313 Presents, it was obvious that this could be a purpose-driven opportunity. Not only the opportunity to run an extraordinary live entertainment business, 6 venues, we entertain over 2 million people every single year. We bring between 1.2 and 1.3 million people down to Detroit and add to the economic vitality of our city. I just felt that it would be an amazing platform that would allow me to give something back to the city that I grew up in and that I was so proud of, and to participate in this great renaissance that's happening right in front of us today.
Pine Knob is the number one amphitheater in the world, Little Caesars top 10. How do you explain Southeast Michigan, its love for live entertainment?
I think that Detroiters have always punched above their weight in terms of fan affinity for sports teams, as well as going out to concerts. Detroit is not the number one market. Pine Knob is not the largest amphitheater. But artists recognize that this is a place where fans show up and show their true passion. And so therefore, it's one of the most popular spots on the routing sheet or the tour itinerary of all the great artists that go out over the course of a summer. And we were proud to bring back the Pine Knob name and celebrate the 50th anniversary last summer. I thought we did that in pretty famous fashion. And we were able to do that because of Trinity Health, Ally, and United Wholesale Mortgage. So it was a fantastic partnership. And a lot of what I had hoped to contribute to and experience coming back to Detroit is the way that everybody comes together behind a common cause.
If you want to buy tickets, 313presents.com. Next Tuesday, Pine Knob, Dave Matthews Band. Next Thursday, Santana, Anita Baker coming. And you got Snoop Dogg coming in July.
Absolutely. And Jack, I expect to see you out there for Snoop and Wiz Khalifa.
All right. I'll come with the bread. Okay, David Gates and the bread and Country Joe and the fish. All right, Little Caesars. Who we got coming to Little Caesars here? Hold on one second. Drake, Kid Rock, Alicia Keys, Madonna. How do you get all these people?
They love Detroit. They want to play in Detroit. They love the fans, and the fans love them. Think about our musical bona fides. This is the birthplace of Motown. This is the birthplace of electronic music. This is a city that has a beat and soul. So artists recognize that, and then all the people that are behind the scenes, the promoters, the agents, all the touring people love Detroit, and they get treated right when they come visit our venues at 313 Presents.
Another one is Comerica Park, August 16th. You've got Pink coming. If you want to buy tickets to any of these, 313presents.com. Fox Theater, you've got Hip Hop 50th Anniversary, Donny Osmond, one of my favorites.
Puppy Love.
Smokey Robinson, wow. He's like Dick Clark, he never gets old.
Smokey Robinson is the man. We are going to be celebrating the 35th anniversary of Mike and Marion Illich buying and restoring and renovating the Fox Theater.
Talk about what a gem we have in that Fox Theater.
Well, the Fox Theater is the crown jewel of Detroit, hands down. It's one of the most beloved theaters in the entire world. It is not unusual for an artist to pause in between songs and to say, do you realize how special of a venue this is? Also, in a historical context, when Mike and Marion Illich bought the Fox Theater and put a ton of energy and money into it to bring it back, that was the catalyst for everything that goes on around it today. Ford Field, Comerica Park, LCA, the Little Caesars World Headquarters. It's all happening because of the courage and the imagination to buy and to renovate the Fox Theater and to make it a destination and a beloved place for all Detroiters.
Michigan Lottery Amphitheater at Freedom Hill. Yellow Card, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. You're too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off of you. I'm available any night, Howard.
I was going to say.
My price is good.
Jack, you got a smooth voice there.
My price is good. I'm more than a pretty face, Howard, okay? You're a world-class marketer. What do all world-class marketers have in common?
I think we all are obsessed with understanding customers, their experience, and figuring out what makes them happy. I think that's what it's all about.
All right. The Illich family is also very big on giving back to the community. What are some of the things we're doing that a lot of people don't know about?
Well, 313 Presents is a joint venture between the Illich family, as well as Tom Gores and Piston Sports and Entertainment. Between the two owners and 313 Presents in particular, we have a number of important community initiatives. One of them that we are so proud of that we just did for the second time is an evening of fine arts with the Detroit Public School System, the DPSCD, that gives about 200 kids, performing arts students within the DPSCD, the opportunity to perform on the stage at the Fox Theater. So think about that. You are going to one of the schools in Detroit and you get to perform on the same stage as Aretha Franklin, as the Temptations and the Four Tops, as Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra, and you get to play on that stage. We think that that's a very powerful thing that hopefully lifts the spirit and the skills of lots of kids.
Howard Handler, you're very powerful now that you've come back home. Thanks for coming back home.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.